Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome in to another episode 157 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your boys, your favorite Saturday brunch bunch, back at it again. Find us everywhere on social medias at Dumb Marks Pod. Head on over to Spotify, subscribe. Let's get those numbers up. We appreciate you rocking and rolling with us each and every single Saturday morning, recapping the week that was in pro wrestling with a little Mount Rushmore and Jabroni and some shits and giggles in between. So, gentlemen, how we living? How we feeling? How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Doing good.
Jason, to get the memo about hoodie day.
Yeah, it's a doom and gloom, rainy, crappy northeast fall morning here. he's beige all the time, Taquan. You know that. That's Al Natural. At least Jason's beige filter looks better than Grayson Waller's orange tan spray-on filter. that social media post, that did him no good looks yesterday when they accepted the open challenge, him and Austin Theory. That boy, that spray tan, that was one of the worst looking spray tans I've ever seen.
Jersey Shore level.
Like, I know MJF has had some bad spray tans, but that Waller boy, I don't know what it, oh man, it looked like it toned down by the time they got on the SmackDown last night. He must have just got fresh out the booth with that spray tan on. Man, it was bad. It was bad.
Steve Donald, you guys did some Halloween shit yesterday for Friday the 13th.
How was it? Yeah, man, it was unexpected. I got pulled in to do fatherly duties walking around the amusement park last night with my daughter and her girlfriend. You know, so sometimes other parents have other things step up, and because these damn kids nowadays don't know how to act, you got to walk around with a chaperone, anybody under 18. Mm-hmm. So I walked around the amusement park for about 4.5 hours last night. Got my steps in, hit my move goals. Pretty, you know, good night from that standpoint, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, it was a good time. It was a nice night. Weather was good. People were good. Yeah. Set up, everything. Like, they did a good job down there. It was a good time.
Okay. Yeah. Mine was the complete opposite. Went to another one, the different one that Steve went to. And it was just terrible from the beginning. You know, people creeping, like the people in the group going real slow and just not moving fast enough, which was pissing me off. Then the constant actors just screaming in your ear constantly.
In Florida? Were you in Florida still? I didn't know the shows were available in Florida.
Yeah, but it was probably one of the worst experiences I had in a haunted house.
Look, there's nothing worse than going to a haunted house or haunted hayride, haunted maze, whatever, right? And you're lumped together with the young girls that all they do is scream no matter what. The minute you walk through the entrance to the minute you walk out, all they're doing is screaming for no reason. Like, we're just walking up the steps right now. There's nobody here. Why are you screaming? Mm-hmm. It's either that or... Or you get the people like Donald, like you said, that just they take tiptoe steps through the entire thing. It's like, yo, this is supposed to take 35 minutes to get through. We're going on 2 hours. I got stuff to do. Yeah. I got to get home and go to bed. I got a podcast in the morning. Like, what are you doing? Like, walk.
Yeah. It was supposed to take like 30 to 45 minutes. It took an hour and a half to get through. Yeah. Because the girls in front were tiptoeing through everything, screaming at the hissing fog machine. Like, you see the fog machine, you see it coming out, and like, you know what? I was done. I was about to hit an emergency exit and just leave. That's how, like, mad I was.
we keep up. We may not talk political stuff on this show,
but we keep up with it.
We know what's going on in the world.
Oh, yes.
Which
is a whole other topic for wrestling this week, but
enjoying the Halloween festivities. You know, house fully decorated from curtains to freaking
Halloween
chandeliers in my house. Like, everything just in my house is just Halloween right now, which is cool. It's my daughter's favorite holiday. So, you know, house looks good, but still, I'm Listen, all these damn bins I had to carry up and down each step. And I got to do it for after Halloween, take down, got to bring up the rest of the fall decorations. Take that down, got to bring up the rest of the Christmas decorations. Like, I'm going to be bringing bins up and downstairs from up.
Step into the new year.
Welcome to marriage, right?
Throw pillows and holiday decorations.
That's your job.
Yeah. So, all right. Jason's the silent evil type today, so I don't know what type of mood he's on. He hasn't mentioned a damn thing yet.
No, Halloween's not my thing, so.
Sipping his starry.
I love the shirt.
It's a good Halloween shirt.
It's not Halloween. It's a typical family.
Wednesday Adams. It's Wednesday Adams. Supporting the... So... All right, let's jump right into it.
Yes.
Busy, busy week. Obviously, Tuesday Night Wars was the big thing. Taquan. Tuesday Night Wars was the big thing this week with AEW and NXT going head-to-head due to the Major League Baseball playoffs. AEW got bumped from Wednesday night to Tuesday night on TBS, and the hype was real. The cars were real. The one-upmanship was real. The chess moves were real. 30-minute commercial free. Everybody, both sides of the fence, ranting and raving. It's going to be the greatest show ever for us. It's going to be the best show ever from us. Commercial free. We're adding 10 minutes of runover time. Just the hype and hoopla galore surrounding Tuesday night was just unbelievable, right?
But did they deliver?
With all that being said... Here's my jabroni of the week, and we're starting off early here to kick off the conversation. Tuesday night, as a whole, is my jabroni of the week.
That's good.
And the reason why is everything that I just mentioned. You know what Tuesday night was? Tuesday night was, you know, when the Oscar movies come out and the nominations come out and people were like, oh my God, this was the greatest movie of all time. The freaking fish out of water movie that won a couple years ago, whatever the hell that was, La La Land, Old Country for an Old Man, like, oh my God, you gotta go see these movies, greatest movie of all time. These movies were the best, and they get so hyped up, and you watch it, and you're like, man.
Sometimes you gotta trust your gut instincts when it comes to that stuff.
It was okay. Like, I mean, could it have been nominated? Maybe. I feel like this movie was better. Just like I feel like previous weeks were better.
Mm-hmm.
The hype, the hoopla, the surrounding, the buildup, the anticipation absolutely killed Tuesday night for me. Because I walked away like, these were both just mid. Just mid. Just
that,
yeah. Like,
honestly, that's until last night on SmackDown, that's the way I felt about wrestling in general from Saturday to Thursday this week. Wrestling was just mid this week. Like, luckily, SmackDown last night kind of saved it for me.
Like, I wasn't expecting, you know, grand slam, bottom of the seventh type reaction from either shows. But, you know, if both sides are coming out talking about, these are the greatest shows that we're putting on and we're loading these cards up and we're doing commercial free for 30 minutes and we're buying 10 minutes of overrun time and everything else. And I turned my TV off because I watched NXT live, and then I went, as soon as NXT was over, I went right into Dynamite and watched that off the DVR, the recording. I was rolling the dice, making sure AEW was going to record, so I checked before it started or else I was going to flip-flop because I knew NXT was going to be recorded.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like, I got done watching AEW, and I'm like, why? And then to piggyback on that, the next day ratings come out and we start with all that bullshit again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, this could be my jabroni of the week, 1000%. Just because of the anticipation and hype that you put on this night in general. Where it should have been, like I said last week, should have been the closest thing to the Monday Night Wars since the Monday Night Wars.
Very true.
It should have been celebrated, flipping back and forth. Oh my God, did you see that segment? No, I missed it because I was watching this segment. Like, all that, and we didn't get none of that.
Yeah.
I felt both shows very little to discuss.
Yeah, Chris, I'm right with you.
Yeah, they were what they were.
I thought they were BO mediocre.
Yeah. Both could have done so much better.
I did absolutely nothing.
I enjoyed both shows.
No, enjoyed, like, there was...
I mean, I never listen to the hype anymore. The hype is just... I just go in and enjoy what I enjoy. I enjoyed the wrestling on AEW, and I enjoyed everything else, the entertainment on NXT.
And that's, and that's exactly what you got. Yeah, that's
entertainment that's on one show, wrestling on another.
I mean, if you'd have kicked off that Brawling Brutes match, I might have enjoyed wrestling more on NXT.
Yeah, I seen that match on NXT Europe or whatever it was called, NXT UK. I could have dealt without it.
Here it is.
I actually felt like the best match for me on for NXT was the women's breakout match.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything you know, it wasn't anything special. You know, it wasn't a long match by any means. It was pretty quick, but you know, I felt it was the best match of the night.
Had to do something with the show. Yeah. Still with the show. Nothing added extra to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you load the card up, which is fine, with, you know, Cena, Cody, making Cody the general manager for the night, Taker, Heyman, like everything. To me, Tuesday night was more about giving Bron Breakker the rub for when he shows up on the main roster than anything else. He had a talking segment with Cena, got physical with Cena. Main event comes. Cena gets involved. He loses, gets his heat back, only to get squashed by the Undertaker showing up and hitting him with a chokeslam. Like, they sprinkled every bit of legendary dust on Bron Breakker on Tuesday night to show that he's going to be a big deal. And then on top of that, they added sauce, extra sauce to Carmelo too, because he got to do the Kane and Undertaker walk off at the end of the entrance ramp.
Which that was shown on social media. I was going to say that had to have been like a digital exclusive.
Yeah, that was on social media. Yeah, that was on social media. So, like, that was more putting them two over for when they get to the main roster than anything else.
That runs into my jabroni. Nothing basically with, like, Taker and Cena, but just WWE overall. How they always say, oh, we don't even recognize AEW as competition, but yet we sending everybody down, you know, on a Tuesday. So we got boost our viewership, boost our ratings.
Yeah. Taekwon, I appreciate you handling the troll in the chat. We're not going to acknowledge it, but by all means, you want to get up and get at him. Please get up and get at him.
Oh, was somebody coming at me?
That. This is in general.
Okay.
Taekwon's being the bouncer of the chat room today.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but you do all this stuff and you don't consider AEW competition, but yet you do everything to try to snuff them out the ratings, to try to snuff them out the viewership.
You know what? For me, NXT Tuesday night, you know what that was? That was like a Raw 1000. Let's bring in all these superstars from the past. We'll have them interact, do vignettes, interview segments, whatever. One or two of them will get physical in the ring, you know, and then we'll move on to next week, and it won't even be a thought.
But here's the thing. That's what it was. You did it with NXT. So they're not competition. You did it with NXT. You did it with your development. Competition is loading up your show for SmackDown and Raw.
Well, we'll see that in a couple weeks. We'll see that in a couple weeks because Dynamite is – or Collision is going to get bumped to Friday. So you got Collision going from 8 to 10 and then Rampage from 10 to 11 up against SmackDown's 8 to 10. So that comes up in a couple of weeks, beginning part of November.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens there. I mean, look, we had, I think, almost a little over 1.5 million people watched wrestling on Tuesday night total. When you combine the official ratings for both shows. So on a Tuesday night, I think that's a pretty good draw. right? All things considered, but for it to be hyped up the way that it was, and then the ratings trouncing, and then Tony Khan going on his tweet storm. I don't care if he's a troll in the message board era or not. Like, CEO of a company should not be out there trying to gaslight people with his tweets. It just comes off as a bad look.
Yeah,
that's my other brony there. Like, I didn't even want to pick one this week because I enjoyed everything on wrestling, but that right there was my jabroni of the week. Just put the phone away.
Yeah, just leave it be. Just go about your business. Like I said, everybody's in everybody else's business. Focus on yourself. Focus on your business.
Yeah. Listen, your company isn't doing that great to be justifying, you know, doing all the ranting and raving on Twitter. Like, why don't you take the time and step back and fix the issues that you have?
And like I said before, I'm down for wrestling pettiness, but at the same time, you got to read the room and realize, yo, not the best time for me to hit send right now. Like, take your lumps, move on. I mean, I saw a tweet, somebody was like, they put up like a fake conversation at WWE, and they're like, Triple H, we got to get the ratings out of there from Tuesday night. Triple H was like, why? They're like, so that everybody knows that we won. And Triple H was like, the other guy's doing it for us. Like, why do I even need to say anything?
Yeah.
Tony Khan's out there running his mouth all week, giving ammunition to the other brand.
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. It was just so overhyped. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, like like you, Jay, the wrestling and stuff, I enjoyed the shows, watching the matches and everything, but I just walked away like somebody that hyped up one of these Oscar movies that I went to go see for Best Picture and came out of the movie theater like, yo, why did I spend my money on this? Like, this wasn't that good at all. Like, you made this out to be like the second coming of, you know, Shawshank or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, one of these all-time classics. Like, Schindler's List, or not Schindler's List. I forget what it is off the top of my head right now. But yeah, like this is not that. Like, it was just another Tuesday night of wrestling.
I will say the only thing that took away from me was bringing LA Knight in.
That one was a little stretchy. That was Stretch Armstrong. Like, okay,
it was really laughable because I was like, okay, they're just put more icing on the cake, but then it took away from the match for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else from Tuesday night that you guys want to touch on? I figured that you know, I figured I might get killed for that take.
No.
Because the shows overall were decent. It's just, yo, like, you just hyped them up too much, like, to the point where it turned me off. Like, all right. Throw you out there for Jabroni of the Week just because of all this hype that both sides did. It wasn't just one side or the other as far as hype going in. Both sides.
Yeah.
And my Jabroni came from Tuesday night. I can go into that, but not wasn't about both shows. And I'll go. It actually came on the AEW pre-show. Steve, you already know where I'm going with this because I told you what it was going to be.
But this mother bleeper.
The signs of the night for Dynamite were my favorite thing about Tuesday. I enjoyed the crowd signs all night long. There was a bunch of them that were entertaining, but like I don't need to see Eddie Kingston be pushed strong just by all the New Japan talent. We've had Shibata now. Now we had this past week. It's like I'm good. Like,
well, he's the New Japan Strong champion.
He's the New Japan Strong US champion.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like New Japan champion. Like, the bum belt of bum belts right there.
He's facing New Japan talent for a New Japan belt. Like,
let's use all the New Japan belt just to put him over. It's like, no, I'm not watching New Japan, that people that actually have talent, just put him over to make him look strong. Like, I'm good. I'm done with him. I'm done with him, and I'm done with that whole storyline.
Guys, unbelievable.
The sign in the audience was Kingston is a bum. That explained everything.
That's enough for you.
That's all I need to know about.
I immediately retweeted. I immediately responded to Chris's tweet from my own personal account, not from the podcast account. And I immediately tweeted back, quote, in a quote tweet, I said, "The views and opinions expressed by other co-hosts on this show do not reflect."
No, they reflect.
No. Not going to let you do that to Eddie Kingston.
Listen, I get and people and like him. Suzuki. I get people like him in AEW, the talent. You know, even fans like him, but I'll never understand it.
Hey, some people click with the audience in their own way, right? The one thing you cannot deny Eddie Kingston, you can deny his wrestling ability, you can deny everything else, whatever, his physique, whatever. You can't deny that he's had a connection with the audience.
He does.
Yeah. He does.
Yeah. And that's the number one goal that you need to have a sustained wrestling career is connect with the audience in any way possible. So,
I mean, I've said it before, like, there's times that he gets me on the mic, like to draw me in, but been enough times where I get drawn in and I just doesn't deliver for me to be like, okay, I'm good. Like, I don't need to watch another match.
But you also got to know what you're getting from an Eddie Kingston match.
Spinning back fist.
you're not getting, you know, Danielson, Zack Sabre, you know, you're not getting Ricochet, Ospreay from like 6 years ago, whenever
in Wish John Moxley, like, that's what you're getting.
Broke the wrestling internet. Like, take it for what it is. I can't believe you put that as your actual jabroni this week. It's terrible. Terrible.
Oh, I was terrible.
It's Mount Rushmore. It's the sign, isn't it?
The sign made the week for me. There was like three or four signs in the audience Tuesday night.
I literally thought you were going to show up on the show this morning with an actual sign.
Kingston is a bum.
Yeah, Kingston is a bum.
I'll save that if I go to Collision in a couple weeks.
All right, so pretty much everybody from at least these four dumb marks sitting here, our jabronis were from Tuesday night for various reasons. So the most talked about night of the week got all four jabronis from us.
Yes.
That seems about right. That's about on brand for this show. And for various reasons. And none of it had to do with literally the wrestling on those two shows. Because no. Chris's was wrestling on the pre-show, so that don't count. none of us had like wrestling specific stuff that was jabroni. It was all ancillary stuff that came out of the night itself.
Yes.
I mean, can't be mad at it. So, all right. Well, since we got all the negative stuff out of the way, let's jump into the positive stuff. Because I figure I think we'll have a lot more to talk about as far as like sidebars and branching off with different things based off of these Mount Rushmores, at least in my opinion, from what I saw this week in pro wrestling. I got two. I got a 1A and 1B, one in ring and then one just as a show overall. So who wants to I let off jabronis. Who wants to kick off Mount Rushmore?
I'll start off Mount Rushmore. It's from yesterday, the in-ring return of Pretty Deadly.
It took four weeks. I've been coming on the show for three straight weeks saying, this is the week Donald puts Pretty Deadly on his Mount Rushmore. And last night, finally this got them it. To be back up finally. On Mount Rushmore.
Everything from the intro with him struggling to get out of the chair, to them winning and getting back in the chair and just going back and forth, just posing. Amazing.
The best part was it being like the arena being black with a couple spotlights and you hear Kit Wilson's voice talking about he suffered such a traumatic injury. He fought so hard to overcome. And I'm like, oh my God, guys.
That's been the best part of the vignettes like the past couple weeks. Just like how hard he's been struggling.
And then when he struggled, they got up. Yeah. I popped immediately.
They got to be faces. They got to be faces. That's too much of a crowd favorite gimmick right there to be heels.
Hey, And then them standing by Graves at the commentary desk, and Graves is standing up like, hashtag out one strong. Hashtag out one strong.
Everything. So Cody and Jay, watch out. Those tag belts. Those tag belts are theirs.
Watch out.
Watch out.
I think Cody and Jay need to step up their game.
And then, of course, they run the fake injury angle to get the win, roll out. And then they do the walk off in the wheelchair, spin around the entrance ramp.
Oh, that was hilarious. Yes, boy.
I said it before. I did not want to like these guys when they started in NXT. And I kept them at bay as long as possible. But they're just so damn entertaining that, like, you can't not respect what they do. I figured the Yes Boy movement from Donald's would be on. Yeah, that. So, Pro, I'm between Elton Strong and Neck Strong. Like, I'm invested in both of those. Like, the Neck Strong stuff is hilarious as well. Like, just Neck Strength Awareness Month was last month. Like, that's tremendous. Like, how, if you're not entertained by that, I don't know what you're doing, because
the best entertaining thing on AEW right now. Mm-hmm. Probably the only.
So for Pretty Deadly, should they have put them in a map? Like, should they have done more vignettes for a couple more weeks?
I think they could have
built up the return.
They could have dragged it out.
Are you guys happy?
They could have dragged it out more, because the vignettes were working and they were hilarious. Yeah. Like, I would have liked maybe, you know, probably like two or three more weeks. Get like a month, you know, 4-6 week build of them doing vignettes and maybe backstage stuff to keep them on the show itself, and then have them.
And then you hype up the return.
Yeah.
The problem is they started too late.
Yeah, it was
like, I think you could still do it. Like, now, instead of like building him up, it's like, now it's just like his PT during the week, you know, just to keep him strong. You know, like, you could do stuff like that.
Yeah, well, they got to get the title soon, because look like Jay and Cody's headed off to other directions from what the main event looked like to me.
I got put a pin in that, because I'm going to circle back around to that exact moment. Three moments actually, and I want to get your guys' take on the three main face-offs from last night and see which one you're more excited for. So keep a pin in that if nobody else brings it up, as far as Mount Rushmore's go. All right, so we got Pretty Deadly on the Dunmark Mount Rushmore this week. Who else made the list?
I got to throw in Dirty Dawn. They're just throwing that man out anywhere. Like, you go from fighting for the NXT championship to interrupting the CEO.
I thought Triple H's line last night was great. Hey, I thought they pumped this crowd noise in sitting back there, but it's really loud out here. Like, and then when he did the mic switch, like, I don't think yours is working, take mine. And Dom looked at it and immediately rubbed it off on his shirt.
He's becoming pure entertainment, man.
Yes, he is.
Hey, and here's, you want to know what the beauty of that segment was? You had them announce new general managers, and I'll ask this question after we touch on this here. But you had them announce new general managers, and the SmackDown general manager, obviously Nick Aldis. But they did it in a way to where the non-WWE fans didn't make the moment seem like a wet fart in church.
Yeah.
Like, they were so consumed with booing Dom and just crapping all over Dom that the announcement was made, and all this gets in and makes the dig at Dom. I'm a huge fan of your father, and everybody popped and cheered. It's like, all right, we like this dude. All this, we're cool. Let's go, general manager. Let's go. Like, I thought the way they rolled all this out for people that aren't familiar with him, that stay in the WWE bubble, that don't realize what he's done in pro wrestling with Impact and NWA and in the UK itself. I thought it was just a well done, well handled segment all the way around.
I just felt like they could have done, like, actually introduced him, like, instead of him coming out there, like, the side, like, by the announcers.
Yeah,
like,
give him some.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, like,
an entrance or something.
Did he jump the barrier? Come out from under the ring? Like,
I think maybe initially that was their plan, but the way the booze went, the segment might have been running a little long, so they might have, you know, pulled an audible in the bag and said, hey, go sneak out through the crowd and just hop in the ring because we're running long here. We got
nobody don't know who you are.
Yeah, and it's like, and he's never been in WWE before, so it's like there's no, he might not have, they don't have entrance music for him or anything like that yet. So it's like, I get it, but
yeah.
I was surprised because I was fully expecting Regal.
Yeah, I don't think he can yet.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's
able to appear on TV yet. Based on when he left AEW and his contract, but I think
however much time was left on his contract is how much time he can't be on WWE TV. Okay.
Yeah. So, but I was, you know, when the rumors initially swirled about all this signing with WWE to be a producer, I was a little, I guess let down was the word because mm-hmm. I like him as an in-ring wrestler and mm-hmm. I still feel like he has more than enough in the tank to go in the ring. Would like to actually see him get a chance in WWE as far as in-ring wise. I don't know if the general manager role will turn into that down the line. He's good. Definitely a general manager that you can get physical with, so there is payoffs there. Like whenever Kurt was the GM the last time, you know, the big thing that we were talking about on the show was, well, he can't have a match. There's mm-hmm. no payoff. So like why are you having him in that role? Aldis is definitely somebody that you can get physical with. So I like it from that standpoint.
We'll pull off a good old Shane O'Mac. GM don't like somebody. I'm just gonna beat your ass.
Basically, yeah.
What are your guys' thoughts and opinions on them going back to having an actual general manager on each show?
I'm for it.
I'm okay. I got tired of seeing Pierce on everything.
I mean, he Triple H gave him the credit last night. He did his job, you know, especially during, like, he took that on that role during the pandemic and everything, and, you know, he handled it. But yeah,
I don't know, Taquan, the NWA, they signed two TV deals with networks that are top 20. So I don't know. They're coming
in. We don't know their names yet.
Yeah, but we don't know their names yet. Big announcement from Billy Corgan this week. Oh, we signed a network TV deal with two networks. They're both top 20. Well, who are the networks? I really can't say yet, but it's like, okay. I've been working on it over a year. It's like, well, is the deal done or not? Like, yo, that's tremendous. He'll be on Adult Swim.
I was thinking, are they gonna get what was a TNA on Destination America during his run?
Yeah.
He has the relationship with Destination America.
Yeah. So the GMs, we're in favor of having GMs on both shows again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As far as storylines and moving stuff along.
Yeah.
Because now when you do stuff like last night, like he's the one that brought out Kevin Owens. So that makes sense. Like you have a GM. Yes, Triple H could easily just be the boss of all the shows, you know, and come out every week. But I don't think that's what he wants to do right now. Mm-hmm. So it's like having these in place to move storylines forward. Like Adam Pearce running both shows and handling the draft this past time didn't make sense. Mm. You know, it's just him, you know, moving the rosters around. But having somebody else to go off of, that makes more sense, especially whenever it comes draft time or if they do any other changes.
Especially for Survivor Series coming up. Well, the brand versus brand. If they're still doing that.
Yeah, if they do that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, when's the last time, how many years has it been since we actually had true general managers on both SmackDown and Raw?
Can Pierce still go?
I don't know. That's been a question asked before, and nobody's really been able to confirm it one way or the other as far as yes, he can or no, he can't.
Do you want to see that NWA title match?
I put them both on the Survivor Series team. It's me and my team against you and your team.
You and your team?
Yeah.
That true brand competition.
I like Pierce whenever he wrestled. You know, he didn't get the spotlight in anything, just like an NWA and some territories, but I thought he could go.
You know, I like this segment overall. I like, you know, Triple H having Pierce in the ring, running down what he's done, highlighting him, you know, the promotion bit. Like, I really enjoyed the segment. Dominic was absolutely tremendous, you know, played his role to a T. Hell of a sell on the stunner, you know. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens then looking in the camera like, you didn't smack me in the face. You didn't smack me in the face. Now, I will say the only negative that I saw out of this was people were a little hot that they just randomly broke up Sammy and Kevin for no reason.
Where's Sammy at?
On Raw.
He's on Raw? Okay.
Yeah, he's on Raw.
I wasn't sure if they were both on the same brand or just on there because they had both had the titles.
No, he's on Raw. I mean, Raw Monday night, Sammy came out to his quote-unquote heel music.
Yeah.
They had the match against Cody and Jay. They lost. They did the handshake deal. So, like, you could kind of see, like, all right, maybe their run's coming to an end.
I was just about to bring that up. Like, do we really have a firm roster split here? Like, Judgment Day and Dom show up on every show. Yeah, you know, it's like,
because it's Dom. That's why.
You control the Dom.
Hey, well, you're the hottest heel in the business, brother.
You gotta go everywhere.
I mean, like, I can get Cody and Jay being on SmackDown, you know, being the tag champ. So that's fine. You know, that's fine. But like, other people just show up on rosters too.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if it starts to break out to more of a separate brand versus brand. I think putting individual GMs on each brand is a good start. You know, little cross promotion never hurts depending on the acts. Like, Judgment Day is hot as hell right now. Why would you not sprinkle them in where it makes sense? And I feel like they haven't just thrown them out on SmackDown. I feel like they put them in a situation where it makes sense for them to be on SmackDown.
Are they hot, or are they just a ragtag bunch you dressed up in Halloween costumes?
Yeah, well, that was a great line. That was a great line. He could have easily have been my Mount Rushmore this week, because Christian has been on fire. We talked about it last week. Him doing the cold open into the show Tuesday night was tremendous.
I bring you to 33 minutes.
Yeah. Telling Beth to change the sheets. Like, like, oh my gosh. Tremendous.
Don't worry, Ruby and Lyric.
Oh.
Memes for him, too. The memes have been amazing.
He is by far, like, he's not going to win Wrestler of the Year, but Christian is by far my Mount Rushmore as far as Entertainer of the Year, because everything he's done this year has been entertaining.
Hill of the Year.
Whoa.
You third best wrestler in the world.
You get Donald over there sharpening up the shank.
Dom's not a heel.
Oh.
Yeah. Dom's not a heel.
He's an anti-heel.
Yeah. Nah, so okay. Yeah, good stuff there. Anything else from your Mount Rushmore or general manager talk in general?
Mine this week, I mean, was kind of like what I discussed last week with Dynamite. There was a lot of things that were set up last night, and Steve, I think this will get into what you wanted to bring up. There were segments last night that I'm looking forward to seeing how they pay off. So we already talked about Pretty Deadly. Already talked about the general manager.
Don't pause it. Don't give it away. We're gonna tease it. But I know where you're going with it from last night.
I got one more in there, but then we'll get into, I think, what you want to talk about. Is like the one that surprised me last night was coming off of Fastlane. I expected Lashley to do something to the Street Profits. Like, I expected them like to completely bash them or to set something up, but for them to still be on the same 100% the same page and just move forward with the story. It's like, okay, like, we're just continuing on with this. Like, and you know, we're continuing on with Lashley and his crew versus LWO. So I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes too. But then, go ahead.
Well, no, lastly in the Street Profits, right? You weren't sure how that was gonna turn out based on how things played out, and I don't. I think if you do like the Lashley going after the Street Profits, I think it would be too similar to like Gunther with Imperium.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like you don't want to have both three man groups acting the same way, even though they're on two different shows, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Like, all right, we don't need.
But that's just what they did 2 weeks ago, though.
Right? You know, yeah. No.
They lost. Right. They were going.
Yeah. No. I get it. Absolutely. But if like I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, cool. Like they're not going to run the same parallels for these two groups. They're just gonna, all right, you know, show your metal. The Street Profits showed more aggression and came out. And I think even though Bobby didn't specifically challenge them last night, them hitting Carlito with the chair and giving the beat down and everything else, like that was them showing the aggression, let's get it, any means necessary type mentality that Lashley wants out of them, you know?
I feel like the Street Profits needed that, though. Like they needed that angle where he was like, give me the suits back, or because you need that change from them. They're just heels, like Gunther
and Imperium just heels.
Gunther and they're straight up heels, so you know they're just not being on the same page. I think Street Profits needed that part of this, that's part of their story, to become the serious guys. Because like when they first came out, we were just like, hey, they need ring gear, they need a new entrance, they need something, they need that
build up to it.
The thing I liked last week on SmackDown was they came out, you know. And what we always talk about this with entrance music is key with character development.
Yes.
And, you know, they're still doing their same entrance music, you know, which is basically their face gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do the solo cups flying out last week. You know, they stopped that. So I was like, okay, like it's a step.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we're not going to do everything all at one time, but you know, at least we're seeing, okay, they stopped that. Let's see what they do next. And so, yeah, it's like, I think they need to completely develop, but I think for the last change for the Street Profits, we definitely need to see the new theme music at some point. Or whether they just go with Lashley's theme music, or they create a group theme music. But
yeah, they should keep Lashley's theme music as Lashley, have their own.
Yeah. All right, once that's done, then I think like the transition's complete with that group.
I had a real life run in here at the house, so I had to go ahead and do something real quick. You brought up theme music for the Street Profits, and lastly, that right now, based on some of the theme music in WWE, I don't trust them to make a banger of a theme music.
True.
Like, yeah.
I don't know who's doing their theme music right now.
I don't know, but they need to bring somebody back because
it's all like, bad.
CFO was doing a great job with their theme music there that last time.
Even Pretty Deadly's last night, I'm like, oh, this
just yeah, doesn't... Man, they need their original music back.
Yeah, like
I love it, but it's too, you can't take them serious with that disco music.
Yeah.
Oh, but you could take them serious with the 97 foot disco ball drop down in the middle of the ring when they get
no, you can't.
They had it in the back already from Fandango. They figured they might as well
keep it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. All right. So,
yeah, I didn't.
Go ahead, Chris.
I wasn't crazy about Carlito's either. I was like, why you couldn't just keep his? I do like Carlito's shirt, though. I like the design, how they came up with that.
The one thing I didn't like is I seen Dragon Lee in the back with the LWO helping out when Carlito was down. Don't do it.
They're gonna do it.
It's good that he's on SmackDown because it's gonna get the eyes on him. But I wish they would have, if they're gonna move him to the main roster, I kind of wish they would have put him on Raw just to be separate.
They did move him to the main roster.
Yeah, he's on SmackDown.
You're right. So yeah.
Just because of LWO being on SmackDown, I wish, since they were moving him to the main roster, he would just went to Raw instead to be separate and create his own gimmick.
Like he's getting the vignettes and everything, but just don't sell him with LWO.
Yeah, just get ready for him to feud with Theory and Grayson forever.
Because I feel like you could have, like even though he wouldn't have gone, you know, I don't think he would have been the one to go over on Gunther. Like, you could have easily put him in the IC picture quickly. Like, established him, could have gone in there.
I definitely got my eye on that to see how they work it. If it's like a association via friendship, like checking on Carlito type deal, okay, cool. But yeah, you add him into the LWO, then you got, you know,
you got six, new NWO person
group, and it's like, new NWO,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Yeah.
It is what WCW did, yes, to it.
Right. Yeah, not there for that. So, all right. Before we get into my second of my Mount Rushmores this week, because it'll continue the conversation and tie back to the pause for Donald and Chris, which you were bringing up as far as expectations from certain face-offs or matchups that you saw last night. My other Mount Rushmore this week from an in-ring standpoint is Frankie Kazarian and Eddie Edwards on Impact. Tie your end of rivalry. They went out there and physicality from bell to bell. Absolutely enjoyed the match. The storyline had its ups and downs throughout, I feel like both men showed up and showed out for their swan song, so to speak, as far as the head-to-head rivalry goes. So they absolutely tore the house down. That was my favorite match of the week, where there were a lot of good weeks.
I did have a small problem with that, not a big problem, but you have Bound for Glory next week. Like, that's been an ongoing story for how long now? Like, you can't get that a proper payoff instead of just doing it on Impact?
Yeah, that's a valid point raised as far as, you know, do you end probably your biggest rivalry that you've had brewing for the last several months on your arguably your biggest pay-per-view of the year? Probably could have, would have, should have in that instance, right? Put it on there.
Because now what do you do with them? Like, do you put them in the gauntlet match, the Call Your Shot gauntlet? Because that's the only other thing you can do.
Yeah, you can throw them on the Call Your Shot gauntlet. That's not a bad idea. But then again, it's still them being in the same type of match. You know what I mean? Like, this guy. Look, next week, I'm just foreshadowing. Next week, we are talking Bound for Glory next week. We're running through the card. We're breaking it down. So you can timestamp it and move forward, whatever. go get popcorn if you don't care about Impact. We're talking Bound for Glory next week, just foreshadowing. So if Donald and Jason want to drop off the show, great. Chris, if you want to hang out, cool. If not, I'll run the damn segment myself next week, running through the pay-per-view card. But we're talking about that show.
I've been watching, so
I'll do my homework.
I'm caught up on Impact.
I'll bring the popcorn.
There you go. Thanks, guys. So from an in-ring standpoint, that was my match as far as Mount Rushmore goes this week. My other 1A, 1B for Mount Rushmore was just SmackDown as a whole last night, from start to finish. Mm-hmm. I was invested every single segment last night. There was nothing that they did that I did not enjoy or that I did not like. Even Kevin Patrick was a little bit better last night. So that's how you know the show was just top tier, because I didn't even notice Kevin Patrick on commentary last night. But that's how invested I was in the show itself.
That is
what you just said, the line of it. I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, that is right. I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can get those.
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know.
That's a good thing. If you don't know this commentary, it's a good thing.
Yeah, but I think my biggest takeaway as to why I put it on the Mount Rushmore this week, and this goes to Donald and Chris. Hopefully, I'm on the same wavelength as you guys with this. But the three face-to-face. LA Knight and Roman. Cody, Jay, and the Bloodline, specifically Roman and Cody. Face to face, and then the one that I'm maybe most excited for, just off of the initial interaction, Charlotte and Jade last night. You had all three of them, and I'm here for all three of those situations. regardless of what foreshadowing or regardless of where the story comes from, the foreshadowing of those three last night had me ready to be invested in all three stories. So I thought from a standpoint of making segments count, making matchups feel important that people want to see, and just making everybody feel like a star, I thought all three of those face-offs checked every single one of those boxes. So I don't know if I was there with if that's what you guys were referring to, as far as that, you know, matchup segment kind of face-to-face interactions. But that's why I put it up.
The only one I was going to bring up was going to be the main one with Roman, Cena, and LA. But what you just said continues on with mine. You know, just creating moments to see where how it develops and where it goes from here.
All right, so let's dive it.
I was looking at the last one, the
Jade and Charlotte.
No, the last one with Roman, Cody, and Sokoa, and all them. Yeah, like all them looking at each other. Yeah, and there's like what 20 different matches just right there in that little.
All right, so Chris, you got LA Knight and Roman start. Donald, you got the middle segment. Jay, out of those three face-offs, which one has you the most excited for a potential matchup?
I'd say the Roman and Cody.
Okay.
But so hopefully Charlotte's in her Bayley era. I'm putting people over.
No, she got another title match next week, so
we probably put Io over. You know, she's coming out running for the save to help the other talent, so I'm hoping she's in that stage of her career right now.
All right, so let's jump into each one of these for a little bit here. We'll run them in order because they start the show off Cena and Roman. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a tremendous way to start the show. It was an easy way to roll Roman right back out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're announcing my show and you don't acknowledge me. Like, you came for 2 months while I was away on hiatus, you coward. Like, that was tremendous. And then you want to talk about sprinkling the legend dust on people on Tuesday night? Having Cena work with LA Knight, they do the tag match, and then Cena puts Roman over, tells the people, hey, I haven't earned this, but I know a guy who has. And then LA Knight's music hits and LA Knight gets in the ring and Cena goes to hand him the mic and he says, it's your time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was supposed to be picked up on the microphone. Like, I think that was just John saying it to him in the ring as it was. But the way he held the mic, it got caught and got picked up over the airways. So I thought that was like, okay, he's like, Cena's giving him his blessing. And then for LA Knight to do what he did, no fumbling, no stumbling, no bumbling, toe-to-toe, eye-to-eye, was like, yeah, I'm here. What?
I'm actually surprised they put this on so quickly, but I don't know if this is going to be we're going to see at Crown Jewel, if we're just setting up the groundwork to prolong it a little bit, you know, after. Because I don't know if this will be something they even go on Survivor Series or if you know, the rumored War Games returns, if the Bloodline will be part of that again. I don't know. There's stuff to see. I like that the seeds were at least planted now. And, you know, we know we're going to be getting this at some point. Just when is the question at the moment. Honestly, I was really surprised whenever Cena even took that step back. Like, Cena was an afterthought in that segment.
Yes.
Yes, he started it, but he was an afterthought to it. But I was surprised just because I thought, this week, whenever they were talking about, like, with the whole actor strike, you know, that they're kind of walking away from the table again after sitting at the table. And I was like, oh, if they're walking away, Cena might be around a little bit more, you know. So, but him taking the step back, it's like, okay, rumor was it was going to be Cena and Roman at Crown Jewel. They could still go that route, of course, but last night at least didn't seem like it was going that way. And maybe, like, Cena's at the point now where, like, hey, if they call me back any day now, you know, I can kind of take that step back and just be like, I'm done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't put him in nothing major just in case, you know, that happens. Yeah. But they got to go back.
You know what I thought of whenever I saw LA Knight standing across from Roman in the crowd going bananas the way they were for LA Knight? And just the face-to-face before the microphones like came up and words started being said. You know what the first thought that popped into my head was? Bret Austin. You had Austin, who was hotter than fish grease. The crowd absolutely ate up everything he was. He was the hottest guy in the company. Bret was the established guy, the established veteran, had done his thing, arguably the best there is, best there was, best there ever will be at the time. And they stood face to face, and you wanted to see it. And last night, LA Knight, same parallel situation. The hottest guy in the company, hotter than fish grease, coming out, crowd going bananas, Roman standing in the ring, the solidified veteran, head of the table, tribal chief, and they stood face to face, and I'm like, it's exactly what I want to see. Like, I don't think they could have drew it up any better.
So I think we all know that Cody finishing the story doesn't have to necessarily be against Roman. You know, it's just getting that title at some point is what finishes his story, not who he beats.
Well, I think it's the story.
So do you put LA Knight over?
No.
Look, I gave it some serious thought after last night. No. Because I'm like, man, would they have an LA Knight since Austin? Would they have an LA Knight now? I think they maybe had one other time, and that was with Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it ever being like this besides Austin and Danielson, as far as organically crowd getting over behind a talent and them seemingly coming out of nowhere to be in the spotlight and be recognized like, okay, we need to cash in on this because this is gold. Like, I don't know how long you delay that or if you delay it, because Cody, which goes into Donald yours with the second face off, even though LA Knight and Roman was Bret Austin at the beginning, when I got to Cody and Roman facing off again, I'm like, oh, this is Austin Shawn. These two absolutely do not like each other. Let's go.
It was like a totally different vibe from those two face-offs.
Yes, right. It was. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's like there's still stories to tell. Mm-hmm. Not just for Cody, just in general.
And it made me want to see both. That's why I'm like, well, listen, you can't drag. You can drag Cody and Roman out to Mania because we got it last year.
Yeah,
You can't drag Roman and LA Knight out to Mania. You can't go 6 months.
I think you could drag it to Rumble. That's the max.
If they tell a very good and effective story,
yeah. Because you could easily do a group thing with LA Knight and the Bloodline at Survivor Series if you go that route to do something like in a War Games match. So you could tell that there's no pay per view in December. So then you have it building up from after Survivor Series to Rumble.
Are they doing a January 1st one?
No, not right now.
And also what I saw in the stare-off at the end, too, I saw Jay getting a little peek at Roman also, a little side eye. He was just like, don't worry, I'm still here, too.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason why I didn't like them putting the tag titles on them. Is because I don't like whenever they just throw teams together like in a main story just to be. It's like whenever like the WrestleMania opponents are going to be tag champs building up to WrestleMania. Like, no, I don't need to see that.
Like Cole and MJF.
The tag titles are definitely part of the overall story. They're not the reason for the story. Absolutely, 100%. So
you don't have to worry about those tag titles in a couple months. Don't worry.
He keeps wearing them Tims out there every single week. If he got on some lugs, then that definitely fits the name. So yeah, so both face-offs, I was like, those were the two correlations that immediately came to mind. With Roman in LA, it was Austin Brett. And then Cody Roman, it was Sean and Austin. Like, just that disdain and dislike for each other. And the stories are different, obviously, compared to what those matchups were, which they should be. You shouldn't be rehashing the same stories given the individuals. But the fact that you have my mind immediately go into those particular feuds just on a face-off tells me that you've done the time to build up the investment and the story of the people to where that immediately comes to mind. So, like, kudos to all them. And then the last one, Charlotte and Jade. Some people were saying WWE's done more for Jade in 3 weeks than what AEW did in 2 years.
No.
Not like, even close. Let's pump the brakes on that. Like,
yeah.
I think a 59.
AEW established her as a name. But she wouldn't be here if AEW.
What WWE's done so far. And this is what we were talking about last week with Jade. Like, does she still needs in-ring work? Yes, absolutely. But the character of Jade, like, the character of Jade in AEW was just, you're that bad bitch. That's it. Because you called yourself that bad bitch.
Mm.
And it ties in with the whole, you know, Cardi B, Meg Thee Stallion, all, you know what I mean? Like, the times itself. Cool. But they've done more for her character in 3 weeks feel like AEW did.
What's her character?
Maybe character was a bad word.
Her presence is there. I think that's what they're trying to do. Is just
make they've her done more in TV. 3 weeks to make her feel like a superstar than what AEW did. From the announcement of the signing to the tweets to the vignette to the showing up, Shawn Michaels getting her to come to NXT. That's why I say character was the wrong word. All right. All y'all hop off my nuts. How about that?
I was excited when I saw her hop on the NXT. Because I thought she'd be down there getting work in.
Which she can do during
the week. I think she will. I think her living in Florida will help.
Okay. So I think she'll do that. I think her meeting up with Sean is telling you there might be some matches. Not a lot. Just something.
Everybody's trying to vie for her services. Right? Now you got two general managers that can court her to each brand. Mm-hmm. On the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
You still got Sean in NXT. He already started his courtship. Like, everybody's vying for the services of Jade Cargill to get her on their programming because of how big of a deal she is. And that's putting over the talent to the audience. Like, yo, they all three brands want this individual.
Was she on Raw?
Not yet.
She don't want no piece of mommy.
Well, it's Sting. Well,
she don't want this smoke.
Oh, well, Monday is Raw season premiere, so, you know.
They go backwards. If you give me a face-off with her and mommy, I guarantee you it'll be the same reaction.
No. I'd call
bull. What they're doing with her is fine. You know, just putting her on, letting people know who she is, so she can, for the people that don't know who she is, because I'm sure there's plenty of people that don't.
Yeah, that's good.
People that, like, this is fine, but she still hasn't done anything yet. So until they do something, you know, I'm excited to see what they do with her. But, like, everybody talking about her just because she shows up, it's like, okay. Like,
the whole point.
They're developing her.
They're getting you to talk about her. That's what they're, like, but, that's her doing
that's
something.
Fine, but it's not this, like, huge, like, the best thing they have going.
Remember Fandango did the same thing. He just came out on Dongo and just left.
I'm mad that you compared Fandango to Jay Cargill. The only comparison will be Fandango, you know, his first match getting a win over Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. If Jay's first match is her getting a win over Charlotte, then I'll let you get that comparison off. But other than that, we are never mentioning Fandango and Jay Cargill in the same sentence ever again.
Listen, and Ty, listen, I like Jade. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with her in WWE. But I'm not this guy that's just going to sit there and say, oh my God, she showed up. That was the best thing of the night. Like, it's not. Like, yeah. Let it breathe. Let it breathe before we give it all this hype. Like, it's not, doesn't need all this hype right now.
Ty must not know who I'm married to. Must not know who I'm married to. All right, see, here comes Pro. This is you know, this is where, like, the AEW fans and the WWE fans that argue about each other. Like, these are the types of comments that, like, yeah, all right, this is exactly
Friday Night Face Off. Perfect.
Gonna kill Jason over there.
Chris, what do you want her to do? Get in the ring and have the 12-minute five-star match for you to be like, no. All right, she's done something.
No, I don't. I'm just tired of the overhype for no reason. Like, because ever since she signed on, that's all it's been. Just overhype. Like, oh, Jade, show up. Like,
yeah,
okay, she showed up. Like, cool.
Yo, it's just like any sports franchise running their star free agent signing out there or their big trade acquisition out there. Like, you're hyping them up because you have them on your team.
But exactly what you said earlier, that like Tuesday night did. I don't want the overhype to be there. And whenever she comes out to be wah wah. Like, I like Jade. I think what they're doing is the right thing of putting her on TV. I just don't want them overdoing it. This way, whenever she actually does do something, how many times have we seen a new star come out and it just flatlines? And
give me examples.
We'll go to Mordecai.
Oh, yo, this is unbelievable. We got Fandango and Mordecai. Like, that's what you're putting into your bag.
You want to talk about hype on a character? We'll go to that.
Go ahead. I'm gonna let you try to present this argument. Go ahead. Please, enlighten me.
And the whole point is, just because you hype something up doesn't mean it's gonna be good. And that's why I'm just trying to avoid the overhype of her. Like, yes, you can hype her up. Just don't let it be. Oh, she was on this week. It was the best thing. Like, that's what I'm trying to just calm it down a little bit. Just take a breath. And let it breathe and let her just be who she is and do her thing. So whenever she does do it, you know, everybody's like, okay, we see something in her. Instead of her coming out, and if it's a 3-second squash match or something, whoever she wrestles first, that they go like, what was that? Like, just, I want her to develop naturally in WWE. I just don't want to see them just rush anything too much.
But they're not rushing it by not having her get in the ring right away.
I agree with that. I just don't want her, again, it's just the overhype that I feel, like, on social media and everything right now.
I disagree from the hype standpoint comparing her.
Because from what I hear from you, it's exactly what I see on Twitter. And it's just like, it's too much right now.
I get what you're saying, Chris. Because to me, she still can't wrestle, so.
So it's too much by having her show up on TV these last couple weeks. But how would that be any different from them doing vignettes with her over the last couple weeks?
But like, what are you? You're sitting there saying, like, that face off like popped you last thing with her and Charlotte. It's like, okay, cool. Like, it was what it was, but just let it be. It doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be a top three moment of the week.
Okay. Yo, don't get on here and act like I just bash AEW. First off, AEW wouldn't debut her the way that WWE's doing it, because they've already done it. They rolled her out there in matches specifically. Give me the lot. Never mind. I'm not going to get on that. I'm not going to get on that. I mean, we'll disagree about it, but I don't feel like the hype comparison for Jay is the same as the hype that went into both brands promoting Tuesday night shows.
Like, if we'll see how they continue.
Time will tell.
I mean, if you're not in the wrestling bubble and you're not consuming all the products and you're a casual fan of both AEW and WWE, right? Like you're not doing a podcast, you're not listening to podcasts, you're not following dirt sheets. Like, you just like pro wrestling and you're watching AEW and WWE on a general basis, week in to week out. Maybe you miss a couple weeks here and there, right? So just an average general wrestling fan, right? If you're that particular person and you know of who Jade is from watching AEW and seeing her come into WWE the way that she has, what about that would not get you excited? Like, I feel like sometimes we're so narrowed in because we talk about it week in and week out that we just look at it because of how much wrestling we consume and how long we've been watching wrestling, and we've seen the different presentations and debuts and vignettes and star rollouts and everything else. Like, we've gone through it because we've consumed the product for 30 years. So, like, we sit here and we let the judgment be nitpicked. But if you're at a high level, 30,000 bird's eye view, and you're just an average fan of wrestling, not a diehard or even a more serious fan, and you're just generally consuming wrestling on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, here and there, like, what have they done that would not get you excited because of you know who this person is from both shows?
I'll take that and I'll spin it another way. If you're just a WWE fan and that's all you watch, you don't watch anything else, what have they done with her the past few weeks that says to you, this is why you should care about her?
Shawn Michaels calling. She showed up at the pay-per-view to be greeted by the CEO of the
company.
Because
they show up doesn't mean they're doing anything.
No. You can't say that. You cannot say that. The CEO of the company greeted her at the pay-per-view. Arguably the best of all time who runs the developmental brand is calling her and have her show up on their biggest show ever. And then on Friday night, you have the CEO walk her into the new general manager's office to face off with arguably the best women's wrestler that there is. What do you mean how does that not show that she's an important person and needs to be paid attention to, even if you
it
only
might show
watch
that she's
WWE?
An important person, but it doesn't show anything about her.
But it shows that she's a freaking star that everybody wants.
In WWE.
In WWE, yes. She's a big star in WWE that everybody wants. So I don't understand. Like, how does that not compute based off of what they've done?
If you've never known her for anything, to me, it just...
That's the premise. You don't know her at all. You don't know her.
To me, it's just like, okay, just because they're touting her around doesn't mean that... She's
look at the people that's touting her around. She's not walking around with Jamie Noble. She's walking around with Triple H, Shawn Michaels. What do you mean?
Yeah, okay.
They paint her off as a big deal. So I gotta get what Steve is saying.
Yeah. Like, what would you do? What would you do with her to make her be a big deal? To that WWE only fan. How would you present her to make her be a big deal, given the 3 weeks that she's been with the company.
I'll think about it. We'll come back. We'll pin that. We'll come back to that.
All right. There's your homework lesson for the week. What do we got for a game?
I hope we can all read this.
No, I can't. I got glasses on. You want me to read 3-point Times New Roman font? What are we doing here? Whose week is this? Jason, did you come up with this?
No, I didn't. So this was SmackDown's top 25 moments that just aired this past year or this past weekend. And I was wondering, I can't even see the damn thing.
Man, give that some Cialis or something. Make it grow. What are we doing here? Jeez, oh man. Where did they put this on social, like on their social media?
No, this was a show this past week.
This past weekend.
Oh, I completely missed this show. Yeah.
So this is their top 25 moments of all time, which over the years the lists have changed, and I see they've taken off quite a few people in quite a few moments. Mm-hmm. Like there's no Edge, there's no Daniel Bryan.
Man, I don't even remember half of these things.
Jay leaves the Bloodline, Cena debut, Fox premiere, Charlotte Flair returns.
That shouldn't be on the list.
Brock and Big Show collapse the ring. SmackDown's debut.
Edge is in here. He's 23.
That's nothing Edge did. He wouldn't even in the show.
Sorry. That says Eddie, you know. Eddie. You can't see anything.
Austin Booker T grocery store fight. Probably one of the best offsite segments ever created and filmed.
That deserves to be top five alone.
To be in the top five, yeah.
Most of these happened when I wasn't even watching the...
Yo, I'm just down on one side of the list, like 1 through 13, and I completely disagree with 80% of that list.
No, man, this is...
You can definitely tell that this was like Fox including stuff
in
there. You know, like it wasn't like just a WWE list. The one that surprised me that's not on here, Jason, was usually like when WWE does anything with SmackDown, that 9/11 shows.
Yeah.
That's in the top three.
That's on every list but this one.
Yeah.
And you know what else? What they consider the greatest ending to a show where everybody was doing their finishers?
Literally everybody hit a finisher.
Was that the Alliance angle?
Wasn't that the invasion angle where everybody was in the ring? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the six man matchup with Taker, Kurt, everybody? They were all hitting the finishers on each other.
I think it was probably that one.
Bailey destroys the inflatable buddies. Is it number 18? Are we serious?
That's a moment.
This is
for me that goes up there somewhere.
Brock Lesnar uses a forklift. If Judy Bagwell is not on this list, but Brock Lesnar using a forklift is,
and that was Nitro.
That's another one that can come off.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't their best list. When WWE's produced them for like their anniversary celebrations, like for DVDs, like they've done better.
They got the Kurt Sherry sexy Kurt, but where's the Kurt John Cena rap battle at?
Oh damn, you have none of those. Damn,
Kurt was on the list twice. He couldn't.
I love how you said Fox made this list and Fox put themselves as number three.
Right.
I can't even read this list. Half of this list, I don't even remember because I wasn't even watching. So,
Jay leaving the Bloodline as the greatest SmackDown moment is just not even close.
No. I mean, they put two. That's why I say Fox had to have a hand because they put two Bloodline things in the top 10.
Daniel Bryan return on SmackDown? Didn't Edge return on SmackDown?
I mean, Edge cashing in on SmackDown was a big moment.
Well, you got Carmella cashing here at 22. Yeah. From a cash-in standpoint, that's higher than Edge's, apparently.
Honestly, whenever they started showing the clip for Carmella's cash-in, I was like, I don't even remember this. Because like they were showing like Charlotte, and I forget who else it was that she was against, and it's like, I don't even remember this at all. But then Carmella came out and cashed. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, this is just a flat-out terrible list. Yeah. I mean, you got John Cena debuts, but what about Carlito debuting after stabbing Cena in the club? How come that's not on the list? And immediately winning the U.S. title in his debut. Yeah. What are we doing? How's that not on this list?
That's a really good question, bro.
Oh, If AI made this list, we are all safe. Like, I'm worried about AI taking over. If they're coming up with bullshit like this, we're good. Well, I don't got to worry about it.
If AI made it, they put it on the show.
There's not even a debate here. This is trash.
It was one of the worst WWE lists that they've created.
How the grocery store brawl is not in the top five alone. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then you got
Charlotte Flair returning last year. How was that a big moment?
She returned again this year. Yeah. And probably the year before that.
They ran it back.
It's like Michael Myers, always coming back.
Like I can get Brock and Big Show being in the top five because that was a big moment for SmackDown when that happened, you know. But
the whole premise of this list, you have the debut of the show itself, at number six.
Like, that's questionable.
Why would that not be number one if you're going to actually put that on the list?
So, what do you consider SmackDown's debut to be? Because they had, in a way, they had two debuts. They had the special in April of that year after WrestleMania, and then they had their like the weekly debut in August.
I go with the August. I don't count the special.
You don't count the special. Okay.
As like their debut. I go with the August.
We'll call that the backdoor pilot.
So
yeah.
So this was the Rock show for how many years and no Rock?
And no Rock. I was just thinking about that. No Rock up here.
He's part of the Fox premiere. But like the Rock sliding against to do the elbow drop on SmackDown, like
the British Bulldog, the greatest people's elbow of all time is not even on the list.
Yeah. Oh, they touched on like so they were doing like all these like little like side lists, like clips of stuff like oh the funniest moments of SmackDown and shit like that, and it's just like no, like
oh so you watched the episode?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have 25 moments, right? Moments. And we go, what's the criteria? Moments. Well, why do you have freaking matches on show? This list?
Whole shows.
Yeah, you got, I mean.
Ray punches Dominic. Not
a that's moment. It. Just Ray punch Dom.
Not a moment.
That's number one.
We're gonna highlight parenting where parents punch their kids. That's what we're going to do in 2023 WWE. All right, get this off the screen. I'm done looking at this.
My eyes hurt, man. I need reading glasses now.
I even trimmed it up.
Wasn't WWE's best work by any means.
No, not at
but
all.
I'll blame Fox for that one.
He should have just kept a top 10.
All right.
But then we would have been questioning, well, what was in the top
20? Yeah, that is true.
You know, 20.
Yeah.
So.
Got to break it down in slides.
We're big on criteria, man. Criteria.
All right. Any quick hitters here before we wrap up?
Thoughts on Alexis King?
I really like what they did as far as the presentation of it. I love letting him speak on why he's getting rid of the Pillman name and not just debuting him as Alexis King. You know, I'm interested to see where it goes. Of course, I feel like he changed his name just so when he leaves WWE, he can go back to being Brian Pillman Jr. But yeah, no, I liked everything about it.
I hate the Hogan Beijing with the blonde hair. That's trash, but
yeah, Pillman did that a couple times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My favorite take on online that I saw was, let's continue to bring in talent, change their name, and then focus on who their family is while their name has been changed.
I mean, you hear Braun Breaker, but you don't think about, you know, what was he, Rex Steiner or whatever it was before? Mm-hmm. Like,
but how many times do they reference him being part of the Steiner family, though?
Oh, I know. Feet? I'm just saying, yeah, like,
Steiner yeah. line. Make Swerve a star, please.
What'd you say?
Please make Swerve a star. Everything he's doing right now, I'm liking in AEW.
Yeah, him and Danielson actually, like, as much as I love Edwards and Kazarian, that Danielson Swerve match was top notch.
Yes.
I know we don't discuss ratings on here because of the subject itself, but so a lot of people saying, oh, well, NXT had Cody, Cena, Undertaker, Heyman, and they still couldn't get 1 million views.
I think they would have done well without it because they were trending high the last couple weeks.
I like Bully Ray's take on it. He goes, because he basically said that he didn't feel like either show won either on Tuesday night. And he said, you know, NXT did slightly above what they did a couple weeks ago. So, like, their ratings didn't improve greatly. And even Dynamite did what it's been doing lately. Like, they didn't really lose. He didn't feel like they lost their audience or grow their audience. So, I mean, I haven't been tracking. I haven't been following ratings in a while, so it's like I don't know what they've been doing. But
Bischoff damn near pinned the exact numbers for both companies as far as total viewers, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's still a Tuesday night for a show that's normally on Wednesdays and for a developmental brand. So the fact that one show got a bump, the other show lost a little bit as far as average viewers. Yeah, that based on the lineups and how they were presented, I'm not surprised by the end results from a viewership rating standpoint. If you buy into viewership ratings, which you know me on this show, I do not because can't actually calculate a true rating, but I digress on that. All right. Anything else, quick hitter wise, the week that wasn't pro wrestling? Nope.
I'm good.
No.
All right. Next week, we got Chris's homework assignment. He'll be debuting his booking for Jay Cargill. We will be talking about Bound for Glory and giving our predictions for that pay-per-view, as well as touch on everything from the week that is and was in pro wrestling. Collision has a pretty decent lineup tonight. So tune in. You know, from the onset, it looks good. Rampage, I looked at the lineup last night for Rampage, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not watching this.
I didn't even watch it.
If that's not AEW Dark, I don't know what is. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I watched it.
That's the lineup they put out there.
Half hour from now, 1 p.m. Eastern, you got New Japan Royal Quest 3 starting in London. So, headlined by Will Ospreay and Zack Sabre Jr. for the UK Championship.
And then... speaking of, you know, New Japan, we talk about partnerships all this time. Did you see that CMLL did a press release announcing a partnership with AEW?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so CMLL officially announced a partnership with AEW. I'm not sure what that does as far as their partnership, meaning AEW with AAA.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Isn't QT a champ right now?
Triple A and CMLL, you know, that's like the
talking about wrestling pettiness.
Yeah, man, that's the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, that's a blood feud if I ever see one.
Mr. Gone, he was on Rampage.
Conan.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out and comes out, but.
Where's what's his name? Mikingo. Is he AAA?
He's AAA, yeah.
They've been using him a lot.
Yeah. I mean, if AEW is able to work with both, cool.
Like, yeah.
Because both CMLL and AAA both have talent that I enjoy watching and would like to see more on TV. So if they're going to be able to have a working relationship with both companies and it not spill over into the just hot garbage mess that AEW normally finds itself in on the politics and, you know, bad business side of deals, specifically CM Punk, then yeah, I'm all for it.
One last twist at pro.
Yeah, I had to get one last dig at pro in. Came at me. All right.
AEW could be the mentor, bringing two warm factions together.
I don't know. We'll see about that.
Okay, I'm done.
All right. Anything else before we sign off and leave everybody with the positivity quote of the week? Yeah, but if he shows up at Bound for Glory next weekend in Chicago, we'll be on here waving his Impact flag like he's been. All right, that's the show, folks. Tune in each and every single Saturday. As always, 11 a.m. Eastern, we go live, giving you Mount Rushmore Jabronis of the Week. Find us on all social media at DumbMarksPod. Email the show at DumbMarksPod@gmail.com. Head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/DumbMarksPod. Buy a shirt. We'll give you a live shout-out on air. Gentlemen, anything else before we go into the quote of the week for the positivity aspect of the show?
Send it home.
Nope. All right. With that being said, the calmer you are, the clearer you think. Move with strategy, not with emotions. The calmer you are, the clearer you think. Move with strategy, not with emotions. There's an asterisk next to that quote because anytime Chris says something, I completely get emotional. So I'm going to start coming in here like a ninja and sliding with emotion and sliding with strategy instead of emotion, especially during One Gotta Go segments. So with that being said, appreciate y'all. Thanks for rocking out, tuning in. As always, I'm a Mark, you're a Mark, Telemark. Until next time, y'all can catch us around the way.